Now, the AI program wrote a summary and the background, as it called it, of Lydia and Timothy. So I thought that I would read both of these of starting out first with Lydia. First, I guess a little intro. The backgrounds of Lydia of Thyatira, and Timothy contrast sharply, showing how the early Christian movement brought together diverse people, bridging different social statuses, genders, and ethnicity, which Kay brought up in the previous lesson about the different social status, Lydia being of the upper class status, and whereas Timothy and Paul and the whole group were of the lower class. They were not part of this upper class. So that's a good point that AI even brought in, bringing together the different social statuses and then different genders. Okay, Lydia of Thyatira, the wealthy merchant. Lydia was an independent, high-status businesswoman staying in Philippi, a major Roman colony. The name Lydia literally means the Lydian woman. This indicates she was an immigrant from the region of Lydia, region of Lydia in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And now I'm going to say it is going. AI was going by the supposition that she had completely moved to Philippi, and she was just formerly of this province of Lydia and Thyatira. My thought is she still has a house and maybe a manufacturing plant or something, but she still has to do with this Lydian province and the city of Thyatira. And that she probably travels even more extensively than just even these two areas, selling it with her business. And but we don't know her first name. That's all that she's called is Lydia. But as the AI program mentioned, that means that she was the Lydian woman. She was the woman from the Lydia province, and not her first given name. That's not the name that her parents gave her, but that's all she's known as, and so we don't have her given name. And about her business of purple, she was a dealer in purple cloth, an incredibly lucrative luxury market in the ancient world. Purple dye was traditionally harvested from rare marine mollusks. It was reserved for royalty, nobility, and the Roman elite. And about the wealth and independence, her ability to run a textile business, own a large home, and manage an entire household of servants suggests that she was a wealthy widow or a highly successful independent merchant. And about her spiritual status, the text calls her a God-fearing woman. This was a technical term for a Gentile who abandoned pagan idols to worship the God of Israel, but had not fully converted to ceremonial Judaism. Now, Kaufman felt like that she was a full Jewish proselyte. Regardless, she had rejected and abandoned the pagan idols of the Roman Empire and Roman and Greek teaching. And she was found. Paul found her and her household, the other women, at the river, worshiping God. And so that much is true. And then whether she was not a full Jewish proselyte is we're not told. So either way, Kaufman thought she was a full Jewish proselyte. This AI program, from what I found on the internet, people did not think that that she wasn't fully converted. But regardless, she did become a Christian, was fully converted there with her household. So she was a prime soil for God's kingdom, and she was receptive to it, and she obeyed the gospel, she and her household, through baptism. Because Philippi lacked the 10 Jewish men required to build a former synagogue, she met with other women by the river to pray. And Kaufman also brings that out, that it was a Jewish custom in those days that they had to have at least 10 Jewish men in the city to build and have a synagogue. And so Paul does not find a synagogue there in Philippi. So the thought is that they did not have even 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. And so when Paul went through the city of Philippi and found no Jewish synagogue, then that's when he went to the river and found Lydia and her household. And now about Timothy, known as the multicultural disciple, being both Greek or Gentile and Jew. So he's the multicultural disciple. Timothy was a young man from Lystra, which is modern-day Turkey, who grew up straddling two very different worlds. And about his mixed heritage, he was the son of a Jewish mother, Eunice, and Greek dad. This multicultural background made him uniquely suited for ministry, allowing him to easily bridge the gap between Jewish traditions and Gentile mindsets. And about his faithful upbringing, while his Greek dad is not described as a believer, Timothy was deeply educated in the Hebrew scriptures from infancy by his devout mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. And about this circumcision issue that's right at the forefront of the Acts 16. Because his dad was Greek, Timothy had not been circumcised as a child. Before taking him on the journey, Paul chose to circumcise Timothy, not for salvation, but as a practical strategy to remove a cultural barrier so Timothy could preach inside Jewish synagogues without causing unnecessary scandal. And then Timothy being Paul's protege. Timothy was likely in his late teens or early 20s when he joined the team. He quickly became Paul's most trusted representative, and Paul listed Timothy as a co-author of 6 of his letters. Paul affectionately referred to him as his true child in the faith. And I was glad that AI brought this up, but Timothy lists, Paul also lists Timothy as a co-author at the beginning of 6 of the letters that Paul wrote. And then, of course, then Paul addressed 2 of the letters straight to Timothy. So these are 8 letters that are influenced by and include Timothy. So that's how integrated that Timothy had become and such a valuable asset that Timothy was to Paul. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will start with Acts chapter 16 next week.